Today is November 5th, 2008, and I'm Teresa DeBacco for the Rock Voices Oral History Program. I'm here today with Ms. Lucy Isacco-Sack. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
We're going to get started with a few questions. Can you tell me a little biographical information about yourself, your full name, date of birth, where you're from, some educational information?
Sure. I'm Lucy Sack. My maiden name was Isacco when I was a student here. I live in Grove City, but I've been from this area. I actually was born in Grove City and lived in Slippery Rock as an infant to about 2 years old. And then we lived in Forestville, and that's where I lived when I attended Slippery Rock as an undergraduate student. And then when I was married, we lived in Boyers, and then we moved to Grove City. So I've always been in this area of Slippery Rock.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about your education?
I started, as I said, I went to Slippery Rock High School, and there I was a cheerleader and student council and lots of, you know, activities like that. I wasn't sure that I wanted to go to college. I didn't make my decision until the summer before I started. And fortunately, I was going to be a commuter because I couldn't afford to live on campus, so I was able to be accepted with a late application. So I almost didn't get here. I did the health and physical education major. I thought about English because my high school teacher encouraged me in that direction. But I'm kind of a claustrophobic person, and the idea of being in a classroom still makes me very uncomfortable. The gym was better, it had more space, and outdoors was fine also. So I danced my way through the physical education major and graduated in January of 1967, which was 3.5 years because I was able to go to summer school because I lived close by and had all the coursework in, so I did that. I student taught in the what's now the Montauk School District, and I was in the elementary schools and at the high school, and I was hired there for the rest of my school year from January of 67 to May. I taught the job that I student taught in. And then I taught the next year at Rochester High School in Rochester, Pennsylvania. It was girls' physical education only, and I coached the gymnastics team and sponsored the cheerleaders there. Then I applied for an assistantship here at Slippery Rock and came back to Slippery Rock for master's degree work. And when I finished my master's degree, it was 1970, January graduation. So I had a year and a half in the public schools and a year as a graduate assistant, and then I was hired temporary at Slippery Rock for 1 year, and then it became a permanent position the next year. And I stayed here ever since. So when I retired in 1999 in January, it was with 29 and a half years here at Slippery Rock and a year and a half in the public schools and a graduate assistantship. In addition to the master's here, I decided to study dance in more detail, and my friend who was on the faculty said, you should try the University of Utah. She had started there. And she said they have a really great dance program. So I went out and checked it out and applied, and I was accepted. And I was terrified because I didn't know. I'd only been at Slippery Rock, and I didn't know if I could cut it, you know, in a big university. But I did. I did very well, and I loved all my classes. And I used every class that I took here at Slippery Rock in some way to continue where I was and where the programs were and to enhance them. So I felt, even though I was ABD, that means all but my dissertation, I did everything except finish the doctoral dissertation, so I really never became Dr. Sack.
What Slippery Rock era were you here? The teacher's college, the state college, the university?
When I started as a freshman in 1963, it was Slippery Rock State College. And people were still getting used to not calling it Slippery Rock State Teachers College. I can remember that explicitly. And then during the 80s, when we became a university, I was on the faculty. And that was a big deal. And it made a big change in things at the school.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the changes between the state college and the university?
Well, because we had a union contract with the university system, it changed the workloads. Coaches were given credit for, did we have the union before that? I can't remember.
It's okay.
I don't remember. But what I was going to say is before, when I coached, we didn't get release time that was comparable, and they counted credits differently. And it seems as though under the university system, that was all more controlled and specific. So it was better for the faculty to have the union and then to become the university.
Now, I read in my research that you were very instrumental in beginning the dance department. Can you talk a little bit about how the dance department got started, some obstacles, some other people that helped you begin that program?
Yes. From the time I was a student here, I had hoped that I could study dance, but that was not. There were only four classes in dance. Dance 1, 2, 3, and 4. Dance 4 was a modern class, and dance 1 and 2 were folk square and social dancing. There was a course on teaching dance to children. It was for physical education majors. So I always had in the back of my mind that Slippery Rock should have a dance program. There's a lot of dancing that goes on in Western Pennsylvania. And even then, when I was a student, I had come from a dance studio. I had worked in another dance studio, Grove City Butler, and knew the numbers of students that were interested in dance, but when they came here, they could not pursue dance. So that was in the back of my mind. And I added to the curriculum the arts forms of dance. The ballet class was the first one, and the jazz class, and the tap class, and then level 2 in jazz, and level 2 in ballet. So we were able to teach the artistic forms in more depth, and the students seemed to really enjoy that, and they were able to use those credits toward their physical education classes. I started my graduate degree in 1973 at the University of Utah, and I was in it was an exercise science program, and I explored the dance area there. And it was an outstanding program. And the chairperson, who was Dr. Elizabeth Hayes, very well known in the dance world, I talked with her, and she really said, you know, you can really take whatever you think you need to take back what you want to do at Slippery Rock. So she gave me, within some restrictions, I mean, I couldn't go in and take advanced technique because I wasn't an advanced technician with those dance majors at the University of Utah that were like, you know, 12 years younger than me, than I was at that time. But she did allow me the flexibility to kind of design my program for what I needed. And that was wonderful because it really worked out for me and for Slippery Rock. When I went there on sabbatical and stayed there for the whole year and got to take in depth and from one quarter, they were in a quarter system, from one quarter to another, all those courses, it was just complete immersion in the world of dance as an art form. They also focused on teaching, and they focused on choreographing. Because, according to Dr. Hayes, dancers will have to teach and may want to choreograph, so they should be able to do all three. And that was the philosophy that I brought from Utah to Slippery Rock as we developed our program here. When I came back to Slippery Rock from my sabbatical, I was informed that they had hired a male dance teacher who turned out to be a wonderful friend, Tom Cobb. And Tom and I sat in my office and we talked about where we came from and what we've done and what we hope to do. And we both found a common ground in wanting to bring dance to a higher level at Slippery Rock. So we immediately started thinking dance major program, mostly from my influence from Utah, because Tom had started dance late in life, but had a wonderful passion for it. So the two of us really made a commitment there that we were going to try to get this thing to work. That's when, in your question, that we changed from Orcasus to Slippery Rock University Dance Theater, SRUDT, is what we call the performing arm of our program. So we tried to write a curriculum, and with two people on a faculty, we realized that it's impossible to do a dance major program. And so we petitioned the higher up people in the administration and said, look, we need a person with an MFA. We need a person with a master's in fine arts who has done the artistic level, because Tom and I had not done that. And we were teachers. So the physical education department had a slot to help teach the fitness program. And then we were able to hire, we actually had three different faculty with the MFA program, with the MFA degree. We had Rebecca Rice Flanagan, who was here for 1 year. And then we had Della Kowal, who actually was the person who, with Tom and I, we got the program written and submitted to the state and approved. So that the three of us wrote the dance major program. And then Della left, and we hired Nora Ambrosio, who is now the chairperson of the dance department. And Nora was the spark that we needed to really put the program at a level of artistry that we had been lacking. So the recruitment of students and the flexibility that we had to demonstrate, problem solving, trying to get this young fledgling program moving with maybe five or six people who wanted to major. And we started out with 20 minors, people who were in elementary ed, physical education, and a variety of other majors who wanted to do a dance minor. They were kind of like the whole thing for a while. with a few majors. But we worked very hard at it. Nora would come in and she would need this, and we really need to do this, and we really need to do this. And I was there and I said, Nora, I'll take care of it. Just go back to the studio and make your dances and let me deal with this. So I did. Another thing that was helpful was prior to developing our own dance department, I was assistant chairperson in physical education, and that gave us the support in that program to do some things in dance. We were very beholden to the physical education people because they supported us. They liked what we were doing, and they didn't get in our way. When it was time to do the department, move to our own department, the dean supported us because she saw that we were doing our own scheduling. We were taking care of our meager facilities. We were taking care of advising students. She said, the only thing you're not doing is you don't have any control over your finances and the money part of it. You don't have a budget. And although physical education was very generous with us, we still couldn't do our own thing, which is when we developed the dance department. So that went a lot more smoothly than what had happened at UTime, what I had learned in my administration classes there, how it could be very conflicting, people not wanting to separate and losing the dance and not knowing if we could do a dance department. But as you see, in the last, let's see, it would be probably close to 15 years, the program has developed, the department has mushroomed in people, not in space, but in people, and it's nationally known. The program has grown and been able to sustain itself, and the students have been successful in their teaching and choreography and performing. The faculty has been enlarged, enhanced. We have accompaniment, we have different cultures being represented in the faculty, and lots of opportunities for our students and our faculty to do dance.
What buildings did you work in? Because obviously it's a little harder to find studio space for dancing as opposed to classroom space.
Yes, that's true. Lecture. What we really need is space. That's all we really need. And we don't have it. We started out in the Fieldhouse Dance Studio with most of the dance classes. And then they put an elevator in there so that we would be handicap accessible. That took all of our storage area. So the studio kept, you know, kind of like shrinking. We taught in East Gym. We taught in West Gym. And that was via physical education because they had control over those spaces. And they were dungeons. It was always a challenge. You didn't have a sound system that was adequate, and you would have equipment in there that from different sports activities, and it would have to be cleared out, and then you teach your class, and then it would have to be put back in again, and it was less than ideal. And these are classes like Folk Square Ballroom that the physical education majors were taking. Not technique classes. Sometimes we did jazz up there in East or West Gym. We also taught in McKay Gymnasium. And this story I think I told before, but to me it's worth repeating because when I was a seventh grader, bused from Forestville to Slippery Rock to school before they had the new school, I took physical education class from university professors in that gym. And I can remember Teresa Pletz, my teacher, putting me up in front of a physical education class, and we were doing wand routines. Now, wands were long, round dowel rods, and it was an old European gymnastics type of activity where people in unison did routines. Well, to me, it was like I twirled a baton and everything, so this was something that I had a dance background, so she loved me because she said, oh, you're so graceful, come up here. So I'm doing this movement, okay, and I can remember that, all right. Our locker room was that little office that's off of McKay.
Very small.
There were showers. Lockers, you know, we had to do the whole scene. Okay, so now, fast forward to me teaching a creative dance, intro to creative dance, which was one of my fortes in teaching elementary ed people how to deal with children's dance. And I'm up there doing this swing movement, and I have this deja vu where I've been here before. And I think back, and here I am, I'm a college professor, and I haven't moved out of the building, and I'm still doing the same movement that I did when I was in seventh grade, and it was like bong, you know, kind of a really strange feeling. So I always like to share that story because it's hilarious about, you know, you think you're making all this progress and you're educated, and you're still doing the same thing that you did in seventh grade in the same place. So McKay was, it was really bad. The floor was as hard as a rock. It was uneven. It had basketball hoops. It was drafty. The noise rebounded off the walls. And probably that's why my hearing is not as good as it used to be, but we had our tapes and our record players, and we taught dance in McKay. As a matter of fact, we were kind of like the only people that did anything in McKay. Wasn't always that clean either. But between the Fieldhouse, East and West Gym, and McKay, once in a while we taught in the new student union. We'd have a space on that checker. It used to be a checkerboard floor, which you'd get so dizzy you could pass out. Where else did we teach? I think I even taught a class downtown at the Grange Hall once, just to have some space. It was hard to find space. But let's fast forward another 20 years, and here we are with 100 dance majors, maybe more than that. We still have the dance studio. We have an expanded version of East Gym. We have a studio in McKay, but we do not have our own performing space. We do not have adequate dance studios to reflect the caliber of our program. And I'm sure that the National Association of Schools of Dance are going to be dismayed that we haven't had any progress in that area. We have enhanced the spaces. You know, they're not so primitive as they were before, but that's discouraging when I look back at what we did and what we had and what we've done, and we still don't have the space that we need.
Do you feel like with that, that's been one of the major obstacles, getting support to bring in that extra that the dance department needs?
I would say that we have had wonderful support from the president all the way down through most people, with the exception of space. I mean, grant funding, requests for technology, additional staff, people that we need, musicians, and you know, we need somebody to teach this class. Bring a dance company in, faculty to go out and do things, students to go and do things. I think we had exceptional support, and I appreciate that. But, and it's very difficult to build a building for dance. You have to have a rich benefactor. In Pennsylvania, you know, like in with the way our government works, you're not going to request a dance building and they'll say yes. You know, how many square feet do you want? Do you want one or two floors? You know, do you want the studio to be on the ground floor? You know, where do you want the parking lot? It's not going to happen that fast. Now at Utah, where they have the Alice Sheets Marriott Center for Dance, they have a big bucks donor who the building is named after. They have a state-of-the-art dance building with their own performance space. The modern dance has one level. Ballet has this other level because they have two different departments. And they have this studio that even has warming bars for your legs so you don't chill during your time off stage. I mean, they had a dance science center where the doctors would come in, the students would evaluate them, and the PTs would work with them. And I mean, they had a whole center, a section just for that. It was not made extremely expensive because they wanted more dance stuff and not so much bricks and mortar. So they settled for really fancy painted cement blocks, but it's a beautiful facility. So until one of our donors, one of our friends of dance decides to help us build a building, or one of us hits the lottery, we're not going to have that. Hopefully, in the future. I know it's on the drawing boards, and I do try to mention it to Dr. Smith every time I see him about the dance space. We deserve it. You know, I think we've earned it. We've put our blood, sweat, tears, and blisters into this space.
I want to take a little step back, rewind a little, and talk about the original curriculum for the dance program. I know that you talked a lot about it was more social dancing. I want to know about maybe if the classes included, like now we have Kines and some scientific stuff involved too.
Oh yes. The Folk Square ballroom thing that I mentioned is only connected when we were part of physical education. When we wrote the dance major program, we had levels of ballet, modern, and jazz. We had choreography. We had teaching methodology. We had dance kinesiology, what we call dance science, wellness for dance developed out of that. We had practical experiences where we would, you know, want to send the students out to do teaching, or they had to perform in the dance theater. Yeah, it was a dance major curriculum. It was not what now we had. Dance Fundamentals, which was a taste of the Folk Square involvement, but that was not the focus. The focus was a Bachelor of Arts in Dance. The students could major in dance. They would be able to teach on a beginning level ballet, modern, jazz, choreograph, and perform. Those were equally, we tried to emphasize each one equally.
Can you tell me a little bit about your campus activities, committees you might have been involved with? I know we discussed earlier you were involved with women's gymnastics.
Yes, I when I first came to Slippery Rock, I coached gymnastics for 6 years, and it was a wonderful experience. It was very hard work, very draining, because the season went from 2 weeks after school started till April, if you made, you know, any kind of final competition. And we were a non-scholarship school, so I worked with walk-ons, people who came to Slippery Rock mostly for physical education and who were gymnasts in high school or in their own private programs. And so the teams that we put out were really good gymnasts, but we didn't reward them, you know, with scholarships. And we had to compete against Penn State and West Virginia and Kent, where students actually had scholarships. But we held our own. We won one state championship, beating out Clarion, who had full scholarships on their team. And we came in sixth was the best that we ever did at the Eastern Regional Gymnastics Champion competition. But then you were in competition with University of Massachusetts, Penn State, as I mentioned, the Big East schools that had, you know, excellent teams. So Slippery Rock was always, we never went to, in my 6 years of coaching, we were never below 10th in the Eastern, but mostly 6th, 7th, somewhere in that area. So I was always very proud of my team. And when I retired from coaching, I didn't leave a team where everybody had graduated. I left a team with outstanding students who came in. I had 9 freshmen who were with me for 2 years, and then the following coach had something to work with to take them beyond. So we were building in gymnastics. Also on campus, I was involved with a lot of committees, personnel committees, curriculum committee. I was involved in gerontology in that program. I was involved in elementary ed because I taught the elementary ed majors creative dance and would take them to the elementary schools so they could actually teach real children. Let's see.
Any involvement with the union?
I worked with, pardon me?
Any involvement with the union at all, or no union yet?
No, I did not get involved with the union. I didn't have time. They needed someone who, they always needed commitments for people who could go to Harrisburg. And my trips to Harrisburg, and there were many of them, were in the 90s when the state dance people were trying to get dance certification for teachers. This still has not happened, but we were hoping by the turn of the century, in the year 2000, that we would be able to have people become certified to teach dance in the public schools of Pennsylvania. And this had been something that kept happening. They tried again and they would fail, they tried again. Well, my group thought we had it. Theater and dance got together and we presented our proposals. We went to all the meetings in the different areas of the state with the people from the state. We went and talked to them till we were blue in the face. And that's when I really gave up on Harrisburg because they were not going to add teacher certification in dance to the program. They said physical educators are certified to teach dance. And we said, that's what it says on paper, but they don't know anything about dance. Most of them took one, Slippery Rock at least took 3 classes back then. And that's why dance didn't do anything in the public schools, because there were not certified teachers teaching it. And I was very, very disappointed when this thing fell through. It really turned me on the whole political end of Harrisburg, because we were going to enter another century and children were still not going to be dancing in school. And I know the values of that, and I could give you a whole dissertation on the value of dance for children. And one example, and I want to give one, is the kids go into middle school and one of the first things they have is a dance, but they don't know how to dance, so they don't know It's not a good experience for them. And I've seen what happens when they have dance training and it's part of their education and they go to a dance and they know how to act and they know how to move and they know manners and they know they have a wonderful experience with it. And we missed it. We just have missed it. And that's only one area of dance that, on a social level, and doesn't even begin to scratch the surface on the artistic and expressive level that could be.
It's frustrating too, because it is written into the Pennsylvania State
curriculum. Well, they think they have it covered, but they don't care that it's not. They just don't care. If a school has money, you can have a dance teacher teach dance. Mount Lebanon has one. There's two schools in Philadelphia. There's a couple more in the Pittsburgh area. But that's not all students. That's an elite group.
What other accomplishments did you have while you were here at the university?
I think my biggest accomplishment is the dance major program and the dance department that were not here when I started and are here and flourishing as a result of all the work that I did and all the hours that I put into cleaning up after people and solving this problem and helping that person. It just, to me, was the most rewarding thing and what I feel is my biggest accomplishment. And I also developed the dance science section of the dance major. That was my area as far as teaching the kinesiology, because I studied with Sally Fitt, who wrote the dance kinesiology book, and she was at the University of Utah. So that was more my area. I studied with Elizabeth Larkham and learned the Pilates and set up the whole Pilates wellness program for the dance majors. I connected with the physical therapy department where their students would evaluate or assess our dancers and try to predict what kinds of injuries they might have because of imbalances in their bodies. And then if we had people who were hurt, they would go over to PT and they would be our first line to try to help them out. When I was teaching dance kines, we also got to go to the cadaver lab and look at the muscles and bones and how everything connected because of the rapport we had with physical therapy. I also was, when I took, another sabbatical later on in the 90s, I did three programs, one of which is still flourishing. One was the beginning a creative dance school through the dance department here at the university. And now we still have a portion of that teaching children's dance, and our dance majors, I believe, are working in that program. The second one was dance with older adults, where I went to senior centers in Mercer County and taught dance to older adults. I had studied with Elizabeth Lerman from the Washington, D.C. area, who was an expert in that area. The elementary, or the children's dance program, I had studied with Virginia Tanner, who was at University of Utah and she's passed away, but she is renowned. Her children's dance theater is still in existence at the university because her students have perpetuated it. So it was Virginia Tanner, and I designed my program based on her work. And Liz Lerman's work with older adults, I did that work. Now that, because I didn't have students wanting to do that, when I went back to work, I could not do all those programs and go out to all those places and teach. So that one kind of fell by the wayside. I didn't have a prodigy to push that to. And the third area was dance and the developmentally disabled. In that program, we went to the houses around here, for the developmentally disabled. I can't even think of the name right now. There's one in Harrisville, there are two or three in the area. And their students who were able to walk came to McKay, and we did our classes there. And one of the dance majors went with me, and Leslie, somebody, it'll come eventually. But Leslie and I would go out, and we would go to the houses, and we would teach creative dance to the people in wheelchairs that were wheelchair bound. And then the ones who were able to move would come to McKay, and we would teach them classes. So we tried to start dance for the developmentally disabled, which again didn't flourish because we didn't have time and resources to spend on doing that. But all three programs were very well received in the communities that they existed. And I do wish that the developmentally disabled one, that I'd worked a little harder on that because of the work that Dr. Arnhold has done here at Slippery Rock with the equestrian program and the Special Olympics and the wonderful swimming program that they have done. They need dance in that program too. And I feel like maybe we dropped the ball on that and didn't make it happen as much as we could. So those were three things that I hoped that we would get going with that.
Now I know another big accomplishment for you, the dance department actually offers a scholarship known as the Lucy Isaac O'Sack Scholarship. Could
yes.
you tell us a little bit about what that scholarship represents?
Well, when we started our department, I said we have to start working towards dance scholarship so that we can help, you know, students. And we decided, this is when Della was here, we decided that we would have a faculty and guest concert. And we would charge like $1. And those students that and people who came to that would be contributing to a dance scholarship fund. So we started out, I think the first concert we had, we made $42, which wasn't going to get us a scholarship. But over time, each semester or each year, we would do that scholarship concert and earmark the funds for that. And eventually we had enough money that we could start the fund through the foundation. So we had a little nest egg toward that. And then the dance department hosted the American College Dance Festival here at Slippery Rock for our region and the Eastern region or the Mid-Atlantic region. And Nora was the person who ran that festival. And she was very wise in getting a lot of things donated so that the funds that the people paid when they came here enabled us to make a big profit. That profit was turned into the fund and really, you know, boosted the amount of money that we had in there. And when I retired, in honor of me, they named the scholarship fund the Lucy Isaac O'Sack Dance Scholarship. And so students are able to receive a stipend for their semester and their year. And then when things come up, like they want to go to the American Dance Festival or they want to go to a CDFA or something in New York or a program of some kind, they are able to tap that, and it goes to help students to further whatever they need in dance. So it is a great honor. It's a big honor for me because financially I would not have a scholarship. I'm retired as an assistant professor and had two children and all the expense of home ownership and being the primary breadwinner. So there was no way I would have had a scholarship. But the dance department chose to honor me with that, for which I will be eternally grateful.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of your most memorable teaching moments? I know you've done a lot of teaching as part of different programs off campus and on campus. Can you just tell me a little bit about some of the ones you really stick out in your mind?
I thought about this question because it's very difficult to come up with, one or two. When you've taught that long, every student that you have in class that gets an aha moment is a reward for you. And there have been so many of them. But I think I can share a couple of things. Like in the early days, when you're teaching physical education majors how to do the polka and the Lindy or something with the waltz, and you know they're struggling and you don't think they really like it, but you never know when it's sinking in. And they go home on vacation and they come back and they're all excited. Mrs. Sack, I was able to do the polka with my mother at a wedding, and she was so excited. She said, your whole college degree is worth it just because you can dance. something like that just lifts you because it's beyond what you do every day in the classroom. And you see how it helps a student. I've seen students struggle and, try to master material and they get down on themselves, but then over time, they have become wonderful success stories. And the gymnasts and the dancers that have gone on to, really make it in their field, when you think about them in class and working so hard on things, and then you see where they've become excellent, that's rewarding. Couple of other ideas, but mostly it's about those individual one-on-one things where they're like, aha, they finally get it.
Who were the leaders, presidents, deans, union members when you first came to campus, people that were movers and shakers?
Well, I think in my early years as a student, we had a lot of turmoil at Slippery Rock. The president changed while I was a student, and then he left under a lot of protests. And he's the one that actually gave me my degree, but. The one I mentioned to you before we started this about how I wasn't a gymnast, but the year that I wanted to join the gymnastics team, the funds were pulled from women's sports. It was called WRA, Women's Recreation. They took all the money. And so we protested and marched around Old Main with signs and everything. As I was a faculty member, Dr. Wattrell was president during the time I was coaching. He was very supportive of me and of what the girls were doing and encouraging. Dr. Bob Raymond was the athletic director during that time, and he supported me 110% with things. It was a difficult time in women's sports because you weren't You weren't. You were invisible. And later, we had the AIAW, which later became the NCAA. But when I started, we didn't have any organization, and then we became AIAW. And the girls were, the women gymnasts were close to the male gymnasts because we all practiced together. And they would come to me and say, you know, Mrs. Sack, how come they have this and we don't? And I said, I don't know. I didn't know they had this. So I would go to the athletic director and say, look, the girls are saying the guys have this and we don't. Why don't we? He said, do you want that? Yes. So we would have it, like training meals and different kinds of things with equipment, and we were able to communicate. I was able to communicate with these people who, it was new to them too. You know, here are women asking for equal time. Like Dr. Griffiths had to battle to get to practice in the field house. They practiced in East Gym, and then they came to the field house, which was like going to an away game for basketball, and it was twice as big as their space, so they're like, you know, they don't have endurance because they can't practice there. Those kind of battles went on in the 70s in women's sports. But Dr. Wattrell really helped in the gymnastics program, and Dr. Raymond was also very supportive in the sports for me. Let's see. I'd have to mention Dr. Griffiths again, Ann Griffiths. She was chairperson in PE. She was the dean under which all the dance development occurred. And she just was phenomenal. You know, she didn't know that much about dance, but it didn't hold us back. She really listened and tried to learn and understand why we needed what we did. And once she understood it, then if it made sense, then we were able to get what we needed. And I think she was just phenomenal, really.
Any other people you'd like to mention who were significant during your time here?
I think that Dr. Aberswald, I can't leave him out as far as supporting the dance program. I wasn't always happy with his support of me, but he was very, very supportive of the dance program, and the part of the reason why we were successful in developing that program. I don't think there's anyone else that I want to mention.
So you've been here in different capacities over the years. Were there any major events or activities while you were here, like academic, cultural, major building projects? There's been a lot of things built in the time you've been here. Weather events, major blizzards, anything really interesting like that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, it's hard for me, having been retired almost 10 years now, to go back through. I know there were lots of things. We were the first team to not be delivered to a sporting event by Snyder's bus service because of a snowstorm. We were on our way to East Stroudsburg and we spent 9 hours on the Interstate 80 in a bus. We had times when we were out of water, or we had ice storms and people could hardly walk to get to our concerts. There have been many things. We had a dilemma in the department with telephone service, just to get a telephone to McKay. I had to withhold the dance schedule from the master schedule because I felt that it wasn't safe for us, so many people, to be up there and not have access to a phone for first aid or for if something worse would happen. And we won that battle. We got our phone. But, you know, there was always there was always an obstacle of some kind. I think we had some divine intervention. We had a flood, a rainstorm, and for some reason, a pipe was clogged in the whole basement, or the whole floor of McKay Gymnasium was flooded, and two times in 1 week. And so we got a new dance floor after much hard work, phone calls, paperwork, and so forth. But that's, you know, the result of a flood. So, you know, there are so many stories. I don't know where to start.
I don't know if I can ask you this, and what, if anything, do you miss about SRU? You've told me you're still here quite a bit, so.
Well, when I retired, my husband, he thought I would be here all the time. He didn't realize that I was ready to retire. We had, I'd thought about it for quite a while, and I had taken the program as far as I felt that I could with my skills, my connections. We had a totally new president, and then the dean was retiring, and it was going to be like starting all over again. And so when I decided to retire, it was time for me to retire. They say you know. And then we were able to bring in Jennifer Keller in my slot, who has been a remarkable faculty member. And Nora has done a wonderful job as an administrator of the program, having different challenges than I did, starting it out, maintaining it, and following the guidelines of new administrators, new philosophies, new things with money. It was just a good time for me to retire. I miss seeing the faculty. I try to come to as many concerts as I can. I just had dinner with Nola the other night, and Nora and I try to go to lunch at least once a semester, just to, you know, keep tabs of what's going on. I had Ursula as a student, so I love watching the progress that she's made as a professional. She's just unbelievable, and I really enjoy watching her work. And the new people have been just such an enhancement to the program. And they always welcome me and make me feel like I'm really special. So I miss seeing them, and I do try to get here as much as I can. I should do more, but you know, you retire and you get into all these activities and things that you do, and you wonder how you ever had time to work. It's kind of amazing. But I do come back and teach for the Learning and Retirement Institute. I teach ballroom dance in the fall semester, and I just finished up. I had 12 students at the last class, and we just had a wonderful time, and I just like it. It's my connection. But I love retirement, and I don't miss the stress. You see this white hair? I was a brunette when I started teaching here, and now my hair is as white as snow, so I think it's part of the stress of the whole picture. The rewards are wonderful, and I wouldn't trade it, but it was also stressful.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrap up?
Let me just look over a couple notes that I had here. I think that trying to have Slippery Rock known in the area as a dance school, a place where a student can become a dance major and go on to pursue a career in dance and be successful, is one of the important things to me. So I'm still always, when I meet a dancer or someone who's involved in dance, pushing the program and asking them to consider it and go down and check it out. Because it seems sometimes that you're not known in your own backyard, but when you when you go away from here, people say, oh, I've heard about that dance program at Slippery Rock. If you wear your Slippery Rock shirt anywhere, people talk to you, so it's almost like wearing Steeler equipment. On the professional level, I worked in the Pennsylvania State Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance, served as the dance person for a term. It involved 3 years of a term, learning, doing, and helping the next person. I also did that in the Eastern District, and I had presented workshops and presentations on a national level as well. Involved in National Association of Schools of Dance, where the administrators of dance programs get together and share what they've done, what their problems are, and listen to other people, how their problems are solved, and so that you can, you know, glean some information. That's always a wonderful experience for a dance administrator, because you go there and you hear what other people have to put up with, and you go home and you think you don't have it quite so bad, but you get ideas on how to make it better. I'm just very grateful for the professors that I had at the University of Utah, because they really helped Slippery Rock get a dance major through me. It was, I had to have that experience, or this wouldn't have happened, I don't think, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for being here with us today. I really enjoyed this interview. I learned a lot of interesting things.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you.